the Chaos Arto Kitchen. I'm Steve Garner, and delighted to welcome back after about a 9 or 10 month absence, as he tours Northern California, Brother Peter Reinhardt. Hello, brother.
Hello, Steve.
Hello, brother.
Brother Steve.
Nice to see you again, my friend. You were here last in a very unfortunate timing, a little bit.
It was.
Well, actually, the weekend of our fire in 2017.
The last time we talked was just a day or so before the fire.
That's right. And things were never the same after that. Mm-hmm. So it's nice to have you back this time. Where we are in the rebuilding phase still, and things are looking a lot more hopeful.
Yeah, I'm so thrilled that everybody I know is okay, but I know a lot of people suffered severe losses, and I'm just glad that I'm able to come back and see things in a rebuilding mode.
Those of you that don't know Brother Peter Reinhardt, he was a citizen of Sonoma County for many, many years before he was enticed to move to the East Coast. But he was the founder of Brother Juniper's Bakery. Those of you that have been around the area for a while know that land-breaking, that incredible bakery from Forestville, California, and then moved into Santa Rosa in the mid-1990s, and you really changed the bread landscape here in Santa Rosa.
It was a good time to be in bread. It was a good time to be in the whole food scene in Sonoma County, because we were really leading the country in so many different areas, and we would have these wonderful food festivals. I'm sure we still do, but it was new. Everything was so new. The breads and the produce and the oysters. I mean, everything coming together in a way that you really can't do that in too many places in this country or in the world, have that much plenty and bounty to be able to celebrate.
Oh, late 80s and into the mid-90s, Sonoma County started to show up on the culinary landscape. Mm-hmm. People like the New York Times started writing about it and things like this. And your strewn bread still causes people to have a tear in their eye, because that was the popular bread that you popularized.
It's still my favorite bread. After 30 years of making it and writing about it, it's still my number one favorite bread.
And what is it?
Struan is a harvest bread. It's a multi-grain bread associated with an ancient Christian harvest festival called Michaelmas, or Michaelmas, as the Celts would say. And I just created my own version of it, because there's no real recipe from tradition. It's just use whatever's ready at the time of the harvest to make a bread from it. So we created one that could be made year-round. 5 different grains, also honey and buttermilk and a little brown sugar. And it made a very nice, soft, golden brown loaf with poppy seeds on top that I still believe is the best toasting bread. When I saw this phenomenon in the last few years of toast cafes happening, I said, geez, if I could get back into the game, I would open a Struan Toast Cafe, because I haven't tasted anyone else's toast that's as good as that.
And you get $5 for a couple slices.
I could sell it for the slice more than I could sell the whole loaf back then.
Yeah. So Struan was certainly a popular bread. And eventually you did sell the bakery. It moved production out of Sonoma County. Eventually the brand went away.
Yeah, the new owners, after they ran it for about 7 years up here, they kind of just got tired themselves, and because it's an exhausting business, and they sold it to a bakery down in the San Jose area. But I understand it's still being made down there and being sold in some markets, probably not as much as it was, but it's still, three of the Struan bread is apparently still being made, I think.
Oh, is that right? We don't see it up here, though, in Sonoma County.
No, it hasn't reached out. Somebody should start doing it again. Nobody can own the name Struan. It's a traditional term. We could own the name Brother Juniper's Struan, but we taught it to, for instance, over in, on the Napa side at the Model Bakery. The owner there loved it, and so she asked if she could make her own version of it and call it Struan. And I said, yeah, just call it Model Bakery Struan.
Perfect.
And they did, and they changed it just a little bit, but it was similar to ours. But very few people took advantage of that, because, I think everybody wants to do their own
of
things.
Course. Well, you were enticed to go to the East Coast by an offer from Johnson & Wales, the finest culinary academy in the world, probably.
Yeah, I love working there. I've been there for 20 years now, believe
it or not. Is that right? Since 1998.
Yeah, we moved out in 99. So I'm going into my 20th year now. Started in Rhode Island. We were there for 4 years at the Mothership campus. And then they decided to open a satellite campus in Charlotte, North Carolina, which is close to where my wife Susan's family lives in the Carolinas. We're all from Philly originally, but her family moved there. So we love the idea of being in the Carolinas. I always loved North Carolina, so we're there. And we've been there for 14 years.
That long?
It's hard to believe. It's gone by in the blink of an eye.
Oh, my gosh. Remarkable. So what do you do there? But you teach full-time? Or
I teach baking classes, introduction to bread and introduction to baking to incoming students. But it's a light schedule because the university likes the fact that I write books, and they give me some leeway and a light teaching load. Kind of like the way some universities allow researchers time to do their research projects, the university gives me time to, in a sense, be a goodwill ambassador for the school by writing more books, going to conferences, speaking about things, and they even supported me in creating an international symposium on bread, which we just had our second one a month and a half ago. It's kind of like a big TED conference, like 10-20 minute talks with from cutting edge bread people from around the world, and folks come in from all over. We live stream it, and we have all the talks archived on YouTube, and it's like it's all about the future of bread. The theme is the future of bread, so it's been very interesting, and I get to be the MC and host and organize that, and I'm the executive director.
And there's going to be another one next year?
We're going to skip a year. We're going to do every other year with the main conference, and on the in-between years, we're going to do some hands-on workshops, like more instead of just talks, we're going to do like, you know, an all-day intensive. There'll be like maybe even a two-day intensive on a particular subject that pertains to the future of bread.
Is there any excerpts online available for people to check out any of that?
Yeah, if you go on to the YouTube search, mm-hmm. and just put in On the Rise, which is the nickname for the symposium, On the Rise Bread, just put On the Rise Bread, it will lead you to, the first thing that will come up will be sort of a highlight reel, a little 2.5 minute highlight of the symposium, and then it will give you a whole bunch of menu options for individual talks, including the keynote this year was by Nathan Myhrvold, creator of modernist cuisine. He spoke. Chad Robertson last year spoke. We've had a lot of well-known people certainly in the bread world, but some of them are known for a lot of things. Some microbiologists talking about sort of the microbiology of sourdough and what's going on in there. A lot of things about sourdough, because that, even though it's the oldest form of bread, we're also seeing that the future of bread is found in its past. So sourdough is getting bigger and bigger because of all the benefits that are being discovered about it.
Oh, that's interesting. I mean, sourdough, from my understanding, was a traditional bread in Europe forever. France, all over, everyone did sourdough. Somehow we think in the Bay Area that we created sourdough.
Well, we kind of made the most sour sourdough because Americans love that sour, and we do a lot of spices, and so sour works well. The Europeans don't like they don't even call it sourdough. They call it natural leavened bread, and they want the bread to be leavened by wild yeast, but they don't want it to taste sour. So they've come up with techniques and ways of doing it so that it's more mellow. Mm-hmm. And in fact, they view, people from France have told me that they consider American sourdough bread spoiled bread. And but that's just taste for you.
A lot is made about, we can go into this conversation anywhere we want, about wild yeast and capturing the wild yeast. I think that's so much maybe mumbo jumbo.
Not
or
really.
Do you think there really is something to it?
Well, the fact is that there's so many different kinds of yeast that, and everywhere you live, there's different sort of natural strains that just live in the air and on the, you know, things around you, and they're on your hands. There's a scientific project going on right now at NC State, North Carolina State University. They have a whole lab that's dedicated to sort of the study of microorganisms, and what they're doing is they're finding unusual strains of yeast showing up in different places that can be then harvested and cultivated so that they can then be used intentionally in beer making, bread making, and things like that. And they're finding that some of these unusual strains of yeast can make even better tasting beer than we've had so far with the methods we know. And one of those strains of yeast lives in the belly of a wasp, of one strain of wasp. And I mean, so it can get that specific. They're also, this is the wildest part, they're also analyzing the yeast that grows in people's belly buttons and on your skin, and they're finding things like that when women handle sourdough bread knead their dough, there can be slightly and discernibly different flavors that come out than when men handle the dough, because we all carry wild yeast on our hands. So it can get that specific, but you've got to be a bread geek to want to know all this.
Yeah, I don't think most people have a degree in biochemistry out there listening.
But there's so much interest in it. And so for some people, that's all TMI, right? Because, you know, like, who? I don't want to know what's in your belly button. Yeah. But
too much.
But, yeah, right. But I'm telling you, it's like where it's going.
But this is bread geek nirvana that you're talking about. But
it's like fantasy camp for breadheads when we get these people together.
But for the average person out there that just wants to bake a loaf of bread, you really don't need to know much science.
No.
It's pretty basic. People have been baking bread for thousands of years, not knowing much more than the average guy on the street.
That's right.
And coming up with wonderful bread.
You just need to know how to follow instructions, and you can make great bread. What happens is as you get deeper into the bread making process as a hobby, and you start to like get into it, then you start to want to know why certain choices bring about different outcomes. And it's kind of like, just when you thought you were out, they pull you back in, you know. It's like, that's how it is with bread. It just draws you deeper and deeper into it until you become a wonk.
And that was how you started. You started with simple one-step breads.
That's right.
Is that
yeah.
right?
Yeah. The first, well, of course, when I very began years ago as a kind of like a 20-year-old hippie, I was making banana breads and,
quick,
you know,
breads.
Yeah, quick breads,
yeah,
that were easy, but it got me fascinated. And then I saw some guys in Boston when I had my little vegetarian restaurant there, which is where I first learned how to cook. They would make the bread for us, the leavened bread, and they were using natural wild yeast. Oh. But I had no idea what they were doing, and neither did they. They just followed, they just had this wild starter, and it was kind of cool whole grain bread. And then so that planted seeds in me about it, but I didn't do it. And then years later, I got fascinated when I moved to San Francisco, and I saw how great the bread was there. And I found Julia Child's 6-page recipe mm-hmm. for French bread, and I followed every step precisely the way she said it. And the baguettes came out so good that people flipped out. And I, maybe it's because they flipped out that I got into it, because I was getting so much praise for this bread. And the next day I made it again. I was cooking in a seminary for 30-some people, and they all came back in the kitchen and said, "This bread's amazing, make it again." Next night I made it again, but I, not knowing what I was doing, I overproofed the bread. And when I went to score it, it collapsed, it flattened out. And it was almost time for dinner, so I baked it anyway. And it kind of bounced back a little bit in the oven, but it came out with all these wrinkles on top. It looked ugly, but I sliced it up and put it in a bread basket, because it's hard to tell when you put it. And so it looked kind of almost intentionally shaped like that. And people came back in the kitchen afterwards and said, "This bread's even better tonight than it was last night." And that's when I came up with my corollary that the axiom of bread is that freshly baked bread is a hit, no matter how it comes out.
And with that, a perfect time to pause. We'll be back with Brother Peter Reinhardt, who's visiting us. He's been our most frequent guest going back to 1992, and whenever he's on the West Coast visiting from Johnson and Wales on the East Coast, he stops in the station and updates us on his many bread-related projects. I'm Steve Garner. This is KSRO.
Hello, Sonoma County. I'm Digital Pro Kim Commando, and I'm here Sundays, noon to 3, on KSRO.
You've always wanted the perfect space outside for your family. But who do you call? Since 1984, Sonoma County Sunrooms has been providing outdoor improvements for families to enjoy their backyards all year long. You may be thinking,
how much will it cost? How long will it take? How can I afford something like that?
Well, now may be the right time to increase value while adding usable space. With a monthly payment option, your outdoor room is closer than you think.
Hi, I'm David with Sonoma County Sunrooms, your authorized Four Seasons Sunrooms dealer right here in Santa Rosa. Our sunrooms, patio covers, and retractable awnings create the perfect place for your backyard recreation. If you're in the market for home improvements, considering expansion on your new build or existing home, call SoCo Sun today and schedule a design consultation to find out the best options for you.
Sonoma County Sunrooms, your full-service design center located on Santa Rosa Avenue. Online at socosun.com. Sonoma County Sunrooms, design, installations, remodeling.
This is North Bay Biz Country.
Can you hear it? There's a buzzword in healthcare on everybody's lips. The pros call it inflammation, and it can both help and hurt our bodies. This is Lawrence Amaturo, the publisher of North Bay Biz Magazine. We're your one-stop shop for hot trends, topics, and issues impacting Napa, Marin, and Sonoma, all in living color, each and every month. Our August health and medicine issue is no exception. We cover the topic of inflammation, the business of rare diseases, healthy workspaces, and how illness can just ruin your productivity. So give North Bay Biz a read this month. Your body will thank you, and maybe your wallet too. If you're not one of our 50,000 readers, get your free sample by emailing us at sample at northbaybiz.com. That's sample at northbaybiz.com.
Helping grow your business isn't just something we do, it's all we do. A member of the Amaturo Sonoma Media Group.
Backyards are the number one source for mosquito production. Dump out any containers holding water. Mosquitoes need as little as a half inch of water to hatch. Report mosquito problems at msmosquito.com.
811 is a free service to keep our community safe. Before you do any project, big or small, PG&E will come out and mark your gas and electric lines so you don't hit them when you dig. Call 811 before you dig and make sure that you and your neighbors are safe.
KSRO, AM, FM, and online. Depend on it.
In the KSRO kitchen, can you smell the aroma of fresh baked bread? Well, you should, because Brother Peter Reinhardt is joining me today in the KSRO kitchen. We'll touch briefly on the books you have written. Do you know offhand how many there are at this point?
The one that I'm working on now, when it comes out, which will be next May, will be my 12th.
2019.
Yeah, 2019 will be my 12th book. And when the first book came out 20-some years ago, Brother Juniper's Bread Book, yeah. We talked about it right here with you and John. So we've talked about every one of those books along the way.
It's just remarkable. We'll get into the new book a little bit later in the show because, as always, Peter does not come empty-handed. We have some fresh-baked bread-like products to try today, which is very exciting. So we'll talk about your ownership of a pizza parlor back east when we get into the pizza part. Right, but besides writing books, besides teaching, besides being an entrepreneur in the pizza parlor, you have a very popular blog also. You have find time to write?
Or yeah, it's funny how pizza has become a bigger part of my life, because what's pizza but just bread with something on it, right? And so when I ran out of things to say about bread, I just moved into the pizza category. So I wrote one book 12 years ago called American Pie, My Search for the Perfect Pizza. Yeah. And it was a journey. It was all about sort of pizza as a metaphor, just like bread is a metaphor, for the search for meaningfulness. And it was trying to answer the question, what is the difference between good and great? And because there's all pizza pretty much is good, unless you burn it. Even frozen pizza can be good. It's dough with something on it. How bad could it be? But then there's some that separates itself from the pack. And yet they're working with the same ingredients, flour, water, salt, yeast, cheese, sauce. So why is their pizza great? And by great, in the book, I define great as memorable. The quality of greatness does it kind of infuse itself into your brain and become a new benchmark of how great something can be? Is it something you're so excited about you want to bring your friends to have it? You want to go back the next chance you get? And there's a few places like that in the pizza world, as there are in all different categories of things, that meet that standard. And so I wanted to explore what it was that they were doing that separated them from everybody else. And we got into that, and then that book came out a long time ago. And since that time, and we predicted in the book that there is sort of an artisan pizza movement coming, similar to the artisan bread movement that has already come. And sure enough, within 2 years, all these amazing pizzerias that are not in the book came out. So we started a website and a video website to follow the new stuff and see what else is going on and keep that journey going. So it's called Pizza Quest. You can find it at one word, pizzaquest.com. And we have little videos with people like Tony Gemignani from San Francisco, Nancy Silverton in L.A., and many more. And we're even working on re-editing all of that, and it's going to come out as a series, a seven-episode series on a new network that's launching via Craftsy. Craftsy is an online educational group. They're launching a new platform called Blueprint. And on Blueprint, they're going to have not only access to all of their of their educational courses, but all sorts of lifestyle content. It's going to be like a subscription Netflix type thing where you pay a monthly fee and you can get any Craftsy course you want, plus all this free content that's interesting. So they liked Pizza Quest, fit right in with what they're doing. And so we have about 50,000 viewers a month. With them, we can reach up to 14 million. So we're very excited about that. And we're editing. We worked out a deal to edit the existing material into longer, more story-like episodes. And they should be in the fall. They should start running. And if so, if somebody wants a follow-up, just look up blueprint.com, and it'll tell you about this new network. It's already up, but our stuff isn't on it yet, but it's coming. Okay. And we've already got the contract, and it's just a matter of delivering them the final. Next week, I'm going down in 2 weeks to L.A. to finish the taping and the voiceovers and all the stuff that goes with it.
Your voice will be on?
I'll be doing it. I'm the host of the show. It's me and in this never-ending quest for the perfect pizza.
And so this is going to debut this year, 2018.
Out in the fall, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then next year, the pizza book published by 10 Speed?
The new pizza book, which is called, I think our working title, and I think it will be the title, is Perfect Pan Pizzas. Perfect. And it's all about
a lot of alliteration there.
PPP, yeah, for very, very perfect people, you know. And so we're exploring a different kind of pizza than the popular Neapolitan style. There's a whole new thing happening with pizzas baked in pans. Some of it's called Detroit style. There's Roman style, which is coming in real big. It's going to be the next big thing. Then of course there's focaccia, which has been around. The next big thing in pizza, yeah. Roman style is it's already happening. It'll tip over probably within the next year or so. It'll be everywhere. Nancy Silverton's even opened a Roman style place in L.A. Uh-huh. And her pizzeria Moza is one of the benchmarks of Neapolitan style pizza. So everything she does great. And so everyone's getting into that game. And there's a guy in Miami who's from Rome, who's training Americans on how to do this style of pizza. And they're like big sheet pan pizzas. A lot of the toppings go on after it comes out of the oven. They're baked like focaccias. They're baked and put out already finished. And then you go in and, you know, you tell them how big a piece you want and they weigh it, or else they have a pre-cut. But with Nancy, she has one of those scales, just like in Rome, where she weighs your piece and charges you by the gram or the ounce or whatever.
And Nancy and Silverton, gorgeous. You're speaking
Nancy
about.
Silverton, yeah.
She
owns Pizzeria Moza, but she was the founder of La Brea Bread.
Oh, yeah.
She's,
okay.
You know, she's been featured on Netflix and on, you know, she's like a legendary already, a living legend, and a very nice person and a talented entrepreneur.
So are you going to try to be the first out with a Roman pizza book?
Not too? Me. I'm not going to. I don't want to be back in the restaurant business. I like to consult and, you know, and I have helped, you know, some pizzas. There was a pizzeria in Charlotte that I was a partner in as a contributing partner, as the consulting guy. My job was to help them develop the formulas in exchange for, you know, a partnership. But after a while, I realized I didn't want to have to be involved in all the business decisions. So I just said, look, just buy me out. Here's my equity back. Give me the, you know, figured out a value and you can run it. Then you don't have to even deal with my input, because if I don't like decisions you're making, I don't want to have to argue with you. So I found that it's more fun to just get paid and move on. And so I've been getting some really interesting offers to help new businesses develop new pizzas.
And one of the reasons you came back to the West Coast, you've had an ongoing wonderful partnership with Amy's, who blanketed the country with their frozen food products and their pizzas. And I know that you were instrumental in developing that pizza recipe many years ago for Amy's.
It's the first product I worked on with Amy's, and that was 20 years ago. And we launched their frozen pizzas using some formulas. And they're very nice and wonderful people to work with. We created a unique and distinctive way of doing a frozen pizza that nobody else has even tried to do, because Amy's does things. They're not afraid to take the hard road if it makes a better product, whereas most companies went the fast road. And so we came up with a complicated dough, and it's worked out very well. And
you're continuing,
and they keep bringing me back. They keep bringing me back to do new things. And so every year or two, we come back and work on some new projects, new products. I've done other products for them. Mm-hmm. The bagels that if you ever go to the Amy's drive-in, the drive-through in Roanoke Park, the bagels that we developed those years ago, and they never quite worked as a frozen product out there in the market, but they still make them and sell them at the drive-thru, and I think they're as good as anybody's bagels. And some of the pockets, like the comparable to a Hot Pocket. We work on Hot Pockets. We used to have, I'm not sure if they're still saying them, toaster snacks. Uh-huh. They were like those little Pop-Tarts that you could filled with, either fruit or pizza fillings. And so we have a lot of products that we've done there. And
well, when is someone going to crack the gluten-free pizza code? Everyone claims they've done it, and I've tried many of them. My significant other, who has some gluten issues, has tried many, and most of them get a thumbs down.
Yeah. Well, that's something that we're still... We did work on one a couple years ago, and I think 10 years ago, came out with a gluten-free that at the time was one of the better, maybe the best one at the time. Other people have push the envelope, and so we decided to keep working on maybe seeing if we can now leapfrog over everybody else. I can't say much more other than to say that keep your eyes open. At some point, you're going to taste the best gluten-free pizza dough ever.
So if you were to say what the biggest pizza news of 2018, can you come up with anything? Because I've got my top story
ready. Well, there's... Oh, really? I can't wait to hear it. You want to hear mine first?
Yeah.
I think that the two things to keep an eye on is I think you're going to see ongoing growth in the Roman style. It's going to get just bigger and bigger. It hasn't tipped over yet, but it's inevitable because it is when you have a good one, it's really, really good. It's memorable. And then this other style, this Detroit style, is also, which is a pan pizza. It's not the same as the Chicago deep dish pizza. It's a deep pan pizza. The book that I'm working on, really, it's about half of it, is about this Detroit style, in which the dough just kind of climbs up and it gets this cheese edge, like the cheese melts over the side of the dough and creates something called a frico along the outside edge. When you have one of those, and you are hopefully going to be tasting one of those soon, that's... Well, there's more and more of those kind of places opening. Yeah. And also the Anthony Mangieri, who used to have Una Pizza Napolitana in San Francisco, which is one of the best pizzerias, he moved back to New York and just opened a new Una Pizza Napolitana and took it to another level. He brought in a chef to do other dishes. He has a pastry chef. And now, what used to be maybe a $30 dinner is now a $100 dinner because it's turned into the hottest ticket in New York City. So unfortunately, San Francisco lost and New York got him back. And the only reason, one of the reasons he moved back to New York is he married a woman from Italy, a very nice lady who wanted to live closer to Italy. And she felt that New York was 3,000 miles closer to Italy than San Francisco. And on that basis alone, they decided to go back.
That's a great story.
Yeah.
I think hands down the top pizza story of 2018, without a doubt, is the resignation.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that is
not
huge.
Of Donald Trump.
No.
But
Papa
John.
Yeah. Yeah, that is
who
huge.
Who put his foot in his mouth one too many times.
Yeah.
And why I know about and why I follow this story so closely is because I was born and raised in Louisville, Kentucky, the home of Papa John's.
I get it.
And did you know him?
I've never met him. No. I never liked Papa John's pizzas. No. I don't know the man, but I've never was a fan of the pizza. I never could quite understand why it was so successful. but he did a great marketing job.
Yeah.
It was very ironic that what brought him down was his comparison to Colonel Sanders.
He was
kind of the Colonel Sanders of pizza. And so he played the game and he made
some very insensitive racially biased
remarks. I think that ego in the end, hubris, is what brings people down. Yeah. It will even bring down people who think that they'll never be brought down.
Well, they already changed the name to Papa's.
No, did they?
Oh, they did.
So his name is off the thing now.
It's not even his name.
And he's not going down quietly. He's fighting it. I don't know what the latest I heard was that he says he's going to, I wouldn't be surprised if he sues the company for reinstatement, because he feels he was unfairly dismissed.
Well, he'll cry all the way to the bank regardless of how
he'll
it turns
something.
Out.
He'll get something,
We'll take a break and we'll during this break, I'm going to heat up some pizza in our state-of-the-art KS Ardo Good Food Hour ovens.
Awesome.
And we'll taste some of pizza's latest. And we'll find out where this pizza was baked and created. That's another great story this morning. I'm Steve Garner in the Chaos Ardo Kitchen.
FM News Talk Radio, North County 103.5, South County 94.5, KSRO.
The Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market is bursting with wonderful fresh local fruits and vegetables from your favorite farmers and ranchers. Walker Apples is back, and Master Gardeners are available to answer gardening questions. Stop by the Beet Generation Farm. You'll find cucumbers, Romano beans, and Libby's own handmade pasta. Anna's Seafood offers a wide variety of fresh fish, and Strauss Family Dairy has a full line of dairy products, including yogurt and ice cream. The market now has, in addition to Two Rock Goat Cheese, Joe Matos and Pazzo Marco Dairy showcasing their fabulous cow cheeses. The Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market has artisan foods ranging from fabulous bread, olive oils, marinades, tea blends, to hummus. Browse the artisan area for handcrafted gifts. Open year-round, Wednesdays and Saturdays, 8:30 to 1 at Luther Burbank Center for the Arts. The Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, where it's always fresh, local, and fun.
This is Noreen Evans. You deserve to be made whole for your losses from last October's wildfires. While you have 2 years from the date of the fire to file your claim against PG&E, filing as soon as possible gives us time to complete your case and have it ready for trial or settlement from PG&E. We will prepare a comprehensive list of the contents and property you lost, including trees. This will help make sure PG&E reimburses you what you deserve as soon as possible. We have an entire team of home contents specialists who work with our clients every day to build a complete profile of what was lost. This information will be critical in making you whole and ensuring PG&E gives you what you deserve. Thousands have hired us already, and we're working to make their case files settlement ready. You can join them today and take action to hold PG&E accountable. Learn more or sign up online today at pgelawsuit.com or call us at 707-237-2445.
Noreen Evans of Watts Guerra LLP is the attorney responsible for the content of this advertisement.
Over the last year, fires have ravaged our communities, ruining lives while destroying homes, businesses, and our forests. The legislature has the opportunity to look to the future and take steps to make sure these preventable disasters don't happen again. One step the legislature should take is funding better land management, clearing the brush, and removing the fuel that feeds fires, and managing forests better to prevent future fires. Another step is to make sure there is an emergency alert system that works when power is off. And a third step is making sure that the power companies take greater responsibility for keeping the paths of their power lines fire safe. There are millions of dollars available to the legislature to take these steps, and now is the time to act. We encourage the legislature to focus on common sense solutions that protect families, lives, and property, not unfair bailouts for utility companies. That's sharing responsibility for California's fire protection. That's looking to the future. Paid for by Stop the Utility Bailout.
Sonoma County's most accurate, dependable forecast with KSRO's Daniel Trucios.
Sunny skies today before back to partly cloudy skies. Today topping out at 79, 61 on the coast. Mostly clear tonight, low 49, 51 on the shores. Tomorrow partly cloudy at 77, 61 in Bodega Bay. Few clouds still for Monday at 76, 63 on the coastline. Depend on weather every 30 minutes on FM News Talk 103.5 and 94.5 KSRO.
Welcome back into the KSRO Kitchen. I'm Steve Garner, along with Peter Reinhardt. We're talking about pizza and piadini and focaccia and everything, calzone and all those
schiacciata,
all those great pizza doughs. And if you're one of those who's saying, "Yeah, forget it, I can't make pizza dough," I'm not. The word dough scares the heck out of you. You can confess that privately to Brother Peter Reinhardt. He's heard this a thousand times. And my thinking is, Peter, if you could stir paste in kindergarten, you could probably make pizza dough.
Right.
Right?
Sure.
Okay, it's not alchemy. It's not magic.
No, it's easy to do. And it's just people. Some people are intimidated by yeast or dough products, but it's easy to overcome it by having one successful experience.
So in the first part of the show, you mentioned that your screwin' bread for the Brother Juniper's Bakery was so popular that bakers, of course, started making it again. And one of those bakers was Model Bakery over in St. Helena.
St. Helena, yeah.
And they talked to you. Well, during the time that the pizza was heating up, I went back to our Good Food Hour library.
Yeah.
And I found
the Model Bakery. And is it in it? I didn't know.
You have not seen the book?
I've never seen I don't think I've seen the book.
Well, be prepared to have your mind blown.
Okay.
So I just turned to page 43. It says, Struan. Struan was popularized by master baker Peter Reinhardt. Did you know this was
him? I had no idea.
Who had a bakery in Santa Rosa, California, not too far from us. Now he's passing on his deep knowledge of bread baking to students at Johnson & Wales University in Charlotte, North Carolina. This multigrain bread, which Peter says originated in Scotland, is as delicious as it is versatile. Our version is a tad less sweet than Peter's. We use it for our all-purpose bread, perfect for sandwiches and excellent as toast.
Mm-hmm.
So here we go. You were credited
in the
She's
right about
bakery.
That. Well, there you go.
So you came back out not only to work with Amy's, but also to do another series of classes at the Artisan Baking Center in Petaluma, which is part of Keith Giusto's bakery empire.
That's
it's a
right.
fabulous school. And you taught some classes. What classes did you teach?
Well, we on the first day, we taught a class on pan pizza. This was the very first sort of demonstration, but it was a hands-on class of the recipes from the new book. So the book hasn't come out. This is a sneak preview, and the folks who were there got to make about 6 or 7 pizzas from the book before anyone else. And they got a little take-home packet with all the recipes, so they got a head start.
That's exciting.
And we made a classic Detroit-style pizza called the Red Stripe, which is a pizza where the sauce goes on after it comes out of the oven in 2 tracks of red stripes down there that are symbolic of, remember, these came out of Detroit, so that's like the Motor City special. So
tire
some,
tracks.
Yeah, so some places call this pizza the Motor City special because they're tire tracks, exactly. Yeah, it's like peeling off. But the cool thing is that the pizza sauce going on fresh instead of baked on has a totally different flavor pop than one that's baked on. They're both good either way, but it's really, really good. So I brought you a little piece of that.
Were both classes you taught at Keith Giusto's both on pizza?
No, the second one was on artisan bread baking based on the last year's release of the Bread Baker's Apprentice 15th anniversary edition.
Got it.
So we made Struan bread, and we made mushroom ciabatta, and all sorts of fun breads, and including some new breads that were not in the original Bread Baker's Apprentice, but are in the new updated edition that include using sprouted grain. Because remember, a few years ago when I came on, we talked about this other new thing that was coming, and I said, well, keep your eye on this term sprouted grain. It's going to be big. Hey, you heard it here first. It's big.
Is spelt still big?
Spelt is still big, but even wheat. This is sprouted grain is a way, and spelt is, of course, a type of wheat, but regular wheat, it's kind of, sprouting has been a way to kind of redeem it off of that hit list that everyone was afraid of. Well, this is a way that you can have wheat, and unless you have celiac disease, which is a whole different situation, but people that have just general sensitivities or concern about wheat can do sprouted wheat in a way without those digestive issues.
So the pizzas that you brought today, is it the same dough used for both of the pizzas?
Well, we make 3 kinds of doughs, but the ones that you're going to taste are all made on our white dough, the classic white dough. We also have a country dough in the book that introduces about 25% whole wheat flour to the white dough. And then there's a sourdough version.
Are all these doughs overnighted?
Yes, that's one of the secrets, though. Any really good pizza dough is a long fermentation, cold fermentation, or if you do it on the same day, make it early in the day, a small amount of yeast, and let it ferment during the course of the day. But I prefer to do it the night before or a day or two before. Let the refrigerator do the work. So because all the action happens through enzyme activity while the dough is slowly fermenting in the fridge.
And it's too hot if you leave it on the counter, possibly.
Yeah, then the yeast takes over and eats up all the natural sugars and then leaves nothing behind for you.
And so the
dough tastes kind of like stale beer.
Oh, what? So what's the first one I should try?
Okay, well, let's try. I've got this red stripe. So I want you to try the red stripe, which is the Detroit-style pizza. And it's
beautiful crust.
One of the cool things about this dough, this pizza is that you'll notice that the the crumb. Steve's biting into it now. You should get a crunchy bottom.
I do.
Of course, this is a rebake because we brought it from the class after a cool. But this is the one that actually can hold up. It can even be microwaved, but you'll lose a little of the crunch. But the microwave does really well. And the reason this dough stands up to the microwave is some of the cheese is actually baked into the dough. Mm. So we put some of the cheese on the dough before it rises. And it rises around the cheese, and then we put more cheese on before you bake it. And so you've got the best of both worlds. And you get, depending on whether you got a slice from the edge or whatever, you get that crusty cheese frico around the outside of the pizza, which is kind of like a bonus. It's like it's the payoff.
Well, we did this in the oven, so it has a nice crisp bottom.
Yeah, I'm gonna see if I'm tasting that. It feels a little soft to me. Let me see. Around the edge, there's still, when you hear that crackle sound. But more importantly is what you're getting on this, you get a crackly bottom crust, but a custardy, creamy, crumb of the pizza. It's the best of all the worlds. It's kind of the best of a focaccia pizza, everything all rolled into one.
I could just peel off the bottom and eat the bottom of the pizza. It's that crispy and crunchy.
Exactly.
And the blend of cheeses, what did you use?
Well, you can use any kind of cheese. The classic is something called brick cheese. It's a Wisconsin cheese that's similar to kind of a firm Munster. But you can also kind of create a hybrid by using a blend of cheddar and mozzarella. We used the cheddar mozzarella blend today. You can use Jack. You could use Sonoma or Monterey Jack. Or today we even used Pepper Jack. Mm-hmm. I'm going to pass you a similar piece along the same line, same dough. This is what we call our pepperoni deluxe. So in Detroit, the most popular form of their Detroit style is pepperoni, but we push the envelope on it, not just pepperoni, but pepperoncini and some other kinds of pickled peppers all baked into there. And so you've got the cheese crust, you've got sauce baked into it, you've got pepperoni and pepperoncini. And so the pepperoncini and the peppers, the pickled peppers, make everything pop.
I'm having a moment. I really am having a moment.
I'm telling you, I'm so excited about this pizza that I...
See this crust that I'm pointing at?
Yes,
here?
you're pointing to the frico.
It's a frico. Explain what frico is for those who don't know.
It's as the cheese melts down the side of the crust. Basically, a frico means a cheese crisp.
Crisp.
And so you create a little cheese cracker on the edge of your pizza. So it's like I say, this bonus flavor burst.
There's some pizzerias in Chicago that I frequent that specialize in this type of crust. This frico crust.
Oh yeah?
Yeah. I'll give you the name.
Give me the name.
So this takes it to another level, the frico crust.
Exactly. Now I'm going to let you enjoy that, but I'm going to prepare for you one more piece. Okay. We brought you three. We made a white clam pizza on a Sicilian style. So with Sicilian pizzas, we don't put the cheese in the dough. It's not part of that style, although it's the same basic dough, and I like it better with the cheese in the dough. But with a Sicilian pizza, you bake it twice. The first time you bake it just with nothing on it, and just get the dough par baked, and then when you're ready to serve it, you put all the toppings on and bake it again. Now for folks who have been to New Haven know that the white clam pizza of New Haven, which is the New York style, New Haven style pizza that's thin crust, is like legendary. Well, we're doing a Sicilian version of this by using clams from a can or a jar, but tossed with panko, herbed oil, garlic, and bacon bits. So it's kind of, so I'm calling this the Clams Casino pizza because I grew up with this dish that in the East Coast called Clams Casino. You eat them clams on the half shell, baked with bacon and cheese and other things, you know. So this has got all that, and on top of it, I'm going to drizzle what we call the secret sauce. Anybody from Philadelphia who likes hoagies knows that what makes a hoagie different from a sub is, because the sub is just another kind of hoagie, is that every good hoagie shop has their own vinegar-based secret sauce. And it's basically made from pickled peppers pureed with garlic and vinegar and everything else. And the secret sauce makes everything pop.
And every Philly authentic hoagie has a secret sauce.
Some kind. And some of them just do oil and vinegar, but what's the point, you know, when you can make something even better? Most of them use oil and vinegar with a little bit of, you know, paprika and other spices. And then if you really want to try something that will make any sandwich taste better, you can go to the supermarket before you, before the book comes out. When the book comes out, you can make your own secret sauce. But go to the supermarket and buy something called Haddon House Hoagie Spread. And there's another brand of hoagie spread, almost as good, but Haddon House is the...
You think we can find that on the West Coast?
I think you can. I think it's a national brand. If not, then raise hell at your supermarket, you know. But just buy a jar of Haddon House hoagie spread, put it on every sandwich and on your eggs, on anything, you will get hooked on it. And it will make everything just go to another level.
Is this a product made in Philadelphia?
I'm not sure. I think it's in that area. I think it comes from that area originally. I don't know much about it. I discovered it only a couple years ago. I never knew about it. I was always making my own, and then somebody said, "Oh, it's like Haddon House hoagie spread," and I found it, and I said, "This is good stuff."
It's good stuff.
Yeah.
So we've tried three pizzas, and they're all sensational. But taking it to the next level is the hoagie sauce. Would you pass me?
I'm passing the secret sauce to Steve right now because I want him to keep dipping as he goes.
Oh, man, is the secret sauce going to be in your new book?
It is. Yeah, the recipe's in the book. Oh, you said that. And there's a whole section of sauces. There's pesto. Pardon me, I'm talking and eating. There's a really nice, you know, pesto recipe. There's herbed oils, all sorts of things that you kind of can set you up. And then the rest is how to make the pizzas. You can make any of the doughs. Most people will make the white dough, I think, to start with because it's classic.
Would people need to have a food processor or a KitchenAid
or a blender?
A blender.
You could do it in a blender too.
But really, trying to knead this is not for the amateur.
Oh, I'm sorry. For the dough itself, you don't even need a mixer. You can do it in a bowl because it's a wet dough. And so one of the things that people are afraid of is wet, sticky dough. The book gives you all sorts of tricks for how to work with a wet dough and you make using oil on your hands and oil on the table so it doesn't stick to anything. And the wet dough is part of the secret of what makes it so good. Okay. It's kind of about the same wetness as a ciabatta dough. So it's not outrageously wet, but it's wetter than a regular bread dough.
So you don't need to invest in any special appliances to make this pizza dough.
That's the other great thing. You can bake them off in cake pans. If you have cake pans, there are special. The Detroit pizza is famous for being baked in a blue steel rectangular pan. The first place that did this was like in the 1940s, a guy named Buddy, who worked in the auto industry, retired or he got laid off or something, and when he left, he took a whole stack of these blue steel pans that they used to put their nuts and bolts and tools in.
Oh.
And it was just a pan to them. He had all these pans, and so he started making pizzas in the pans, and pizzeria became sort of the first benchmark pizza of this style. They didn't even call it Detroit pizza. They just called it pizza. Mm-hmm. And then later, other people imitated him, so they called it Detroit style. And this blue steel pan became sort of like the shibboleth of pizzas. This is like, you know, you have to have this pan. It turns out you don't have to have the pan. It's just kind of cool part of the story. So now they're being made with cast aluminum and glazed so that they're light. They're a lot cheaper. And that you can use them over and over. I use my same pan I use to make brownies at home. You can even make them in a round cake pan if you want.
It's a versatile pan.
It's any kind of pan. That, and the key with this is the sidewalls have to be two inches high. Or three, but two is I find. But a regular sheet pan, like a baking sheet pan, a cookie pan, usually only has a 1-inch wall. So you want a taller wall so that you get the frico, because if you only use 1 inch, the frico goes down into the oven, and your oven has the frico.
That's not
it has
good.
The freak out.
So does this dough freeze well?
It freezes very well. You can freeze it and take it out a day before you're going to use it and put it in the refrigerator so it softens and thaws.
Is it hard to roll out?
You don't roll it out. You actually oil your pan and then put the dough in, and with oiled fingertips, you dimple it into
like
the pan.
Even better.
There's no rolling. There's no pulling or shaping.
It doesn't snap back, because when I've tried to do pizza dough before, it snaps back.
Well, it does at first. And so here you have to do three dimplings, and you kind of wait about 15 to 20 minutes. So you pull the cold dough out of the fridge. You weigh it to the size, and in the book it tells you how much to weigh depending on the size pan you have. You oil the pan, put the dough in, and you dimple it, and it won't spread very much at first. Cover the pan, come back in 20, 30 minutes, dimple it again, and each time you dimple it, it will cover more of the pan. By the third dimpling, about an hour after you've pulled it out of the fridge, it will be relaxed enough and warming up enough to cover the whole pan, and then you start the clock. And from there, it's like, 3 to 4 hours for the dough to slowly wake up And so you can do other things. So you do this in the morning and or in the early afternoon, and by 5 or 6 o'clock, it's risen. You put half, once you get the dough to cover the pan, you start to put the cheese in, and you kind of embed the cheese in the dough, and then it rises some more, and then, you know, when you're ready to bake, you put all the rest of the toppings, bake it hot, fast, and it's nirvana.
A brilliant Detroit-style pizza tutorial from Brother Peter Reinhardt on today's Good Food Hour. You heard it first this morning. It's great to have Peter Reinhardt in the KS Arlo kitchen. Well, if you're not jazzed about pizza now, you never will be. Thank you for coming in today. Thanks for sharing your passion, your enthusiasm. You're just unbridled in, when it comes to pizza. And next spring, I know you'll be back out here when the book is released, Perfect Pan Pizza. We'll have you back and we'll taste some more pizza.
As Calvin Trillin says, I'm just a hungry boy looking for a good meal.
I'm Steve Garner, and I echo those thoughts 100%. KSRO's Good Food Hour. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next Saturday. This is KSRO.
Hey folks, this is George Adair from Bay Equity Home Loans. We're your local lender, but I want you to know we have cutting-edge technology available to you. I'm really excited to announce our Bay Equity Express closing. You don't have to go search the internet to find your home loan lender. We're right here in Santa Rosa, Petaluma, and Windsor. Bay Equity Home Loans offers many loan programs with amazing technology